Hello everyone and welcome in to the Youth Hoops Pod presented by Pro Skills Basketball. Youth basketball is often disorganized, focused solely on winning, and generally frustrating. But at Pro Skills Basketball, our mission is to change that culture. We strive to provide a more professional experience for parents, players, and coaches. One focused on organized communication, fun, mutual respect, and personal growth, on and off the court. And the Youth Hoops Pod is a part of that. This podcast covers a wide range of youth basketball topics, from high school and AAU basketball to college recruiting, NCAA, NBA, overseas basketball, mental health and performance, leadership, and much more. Now let's jump into today's conversation. We hope you enjoy.
Welcome back to the Youth Hoops Pod presented by Pro Skills Basketball. Chris Goodrum and your host for today's conversation. Locked in with us is our Bulldog, Colin Robbie. Glad to have you back, Colin.
And excited to be here and excited to dive into this week's episode.
Yes, sir. And to our guest, PSB Portland director, Will Bercher, the Bercher himself, who is 4 months into his journey with PSB as the Portland director. Will, appreciate you jumping on with us today, buddy.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Absolutely. Hey, we're gonna jump right on into it. Will, we love to have conversations with Will because he's got a big space for philosophical, thought provoking kind of topics, and so we're gonna dive into the deep end of the pool. Will, you talk a lot at times about how basketball provides character development and how we can use that and use the sport as a promotion of building character with our youth. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, of course. When I started to coach, and even as an athlete, coaching can be different in a lot of people's mindsets, right? So when you see coaches that all they care about is winning, or all they care about is promoting just physicality and, you know, speaking negatively to the refs and not taking into consideration the youth that they're impacting when they're on the court and conducting what they're supposed to be responsible for. And as a parent, what I would believe that to be is to educate their kids to be, you know, fine athletes. And instead, that promotion is upon maybe that coach's ego, for example. So the component that I look for is, as a coach, as a director, is ensuring that these kids are given the attentiveness to grow their traits rather than to abide by this mantra in AAU basketball that it's about winning, promoting the program, and only financially, only purely financial.
Really quickly, right? The post notes of you growing up, your experience with youth basketball, and then your experience with high school and after, and just what you've been through in your life and seen both as a player and as a professional, that's got you to this thought now.
Yeah, growing up, I was involved in every sport imaginable. Won't go too deep into this, but my parents split up at a really early age, and I was raised by my mom, but she promoted sports in my life. But when I associated myself with a crowd that I probably shouldn't be associating myself with, and it took me away from athletics in general because I was more concerned about that aspect, and I didn't have that mentor or coach to be able to assist, and my parents were working incessantly. So the reason why I coached is to be able to promote a mentorship, a coachability to get people involved in the sport, because sport, it's not just about, you know, I know kids, their aspirations can be D1 or NBA. They don't understand how difficult it is to get there, you know, 3 in 10,000 high school athletes, you know, make it professionally, and that's overseas as well. But you want to make sure that you're abiding by those youth principles and adhering to their goals. So when I was growing up, that was kind of taken away from me when I made a transition to Las Vegas, played sports there, came back to to Portland and was just taken away from sports because I interacted with the wrong crowd, because I didn't have that person, or and my parents were working so often. So it took me away from that. And why I got so heavily involved in coaching and directing my own AAU program and that kind of thing was just the multiple traits that sports promote.
Yeah. So when you talk about the multiple traits that sports promotes, you always liken that back to this concept of the 8 C's. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. So the 8 C's were developed with a lot of reading. I just got heavily involved in wanting to know more about basketball coaching, and those have been successful. One of the biggest influences on my life is John Wooden, and reading his work. And it was always student athlete, student first. If you're going to UCLA, your academics take priority. And then attributing the means of becoming academically profound by instilling certain principles, which I'm sure we know is his pyramid. And I kind of took some of that information along with other workings to develop ACs, which I have kids sign before we engage in a season, whether I'm coaching at the high school level or, you know, my sixth graders right now. Character is an underlying factor of that. And that's having character, not being a character, making sure that every single minute on the court is utilized for specific to basketball. So if the opponent talks negative to you on the court, you prove yourself with performance and not a reaction. You respect the call on the court and move on. Respect to the referees, because even though they can make a mistake, like we all make mistakes, it's going to happen, and we just need to go on to the next play. And we really attribute this to what is being successful, not only on the court, but in the boardroom when, God willing, they become, these youth become adults. And if they're abiding by those principles on the basketball court, it's going to carry over. I mean, I'm in a position, I was VP of operations for a company called Traeger Grills, like in all other executive positions throughout my life. And I attribute the success that I've had in those positions to sports. And I'm associated with those athletes in the business world. And we get along the most. We develop relationships, collaborations, et cetera, because of the mentality of sport.
So first of all, for the listener, Traeger is a grill, traditionally a smoker, a pellet-based grill. We're not sponsored by Traeger, but if Traeger's listening, I've thoroughly enjoyed using my Traeger. And then lastly, really quickly, before we move on, I know that you focused on one of the 8 C's. Could you list off all 8 C's for our listeners?
So courage comes down to giving yourself 100%. On every rep. My good friend Damian Lillard, I mean, I not my good friend, but I saw him on the basketball court one time, and he was conducting a clinic. And the one thing that he said that he wished he would have done during his youth is to make sure that in every rep in practice that he attributed to performance in the game. So to make it a live, like, what is this doing for me in the moment in the game? So And giving 100% to that, to each rep. So you can't go 120% the next day if you go 80% today, and you're not going to promote yourself or accelerate your progress if you're not giving yourself 100%. I do not like the concept of it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, that kind of mantra, because people run marathons in 2 hours or 5 hours. It's dependent upon you to see how much work and effort you're going to put in. Compassion is a big one. That's about celebrating the losses and the wins, and genuinely caring. So care about your teammates, picking them up. I'm not going to go too far on this, but you know, the isolation that comes with the NBA game and those 2 second highlights that are on Instagram, and they could break somebody's ankles per se, but did they make the layup on the end? Did they make the right pass? What was their decision making? Not to fear your opponent, but to respect them. Not to make excuses. You know, valid self-analysis is crucial for improvement. Blaming others is making an excuse. When you make excuses, you can't properly evaluate yourself. And then, you know, without proper evaluation, failure is inevitable. Coachability is the next one. So that's, you know, yes, coach, but I had a coach, one of my varsity coaches, who was like, did not let anybody ask a question. It was just, this is the way we run a triangle offense, and nobody, I don't want to hear anybody say anything different. And that is all we do. And that's just promotion of kind of what we talked about at the beginning, just winning and, not thinking about the kids, but rather just, this is the system that I operate in. And if you don't like it, then, you know, find another school to go to. So she didn't allow questions. I encourage questions. If a kid has a question about the drill that we're running, about why we're running this offense, why motion makes sense, why we run the Villanova offense, why we run zag or something like that, I really want them to speak up, and attentiveness. So eye contact, making sure everyone, no one's playing with the ball while somebody's talking, just be present. Next one's committed. That's being at every single practice that you can, making sure that you're communicating. If you can't, you know, stuff happens. Life can throw curveballs. Make sure you come prepared, because I like to make sure every single second we have 90 minutes of practice. Let's make sure we're not, you know, tying our shoes. Make sure they're double laced. I know it's something that's so small, but in the scheme of things, if you're prepared for, you know, the practice, you'll be prepared for life. Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. I say that all the time. I mean, I'll say it again. Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. If you prepare properly, you may be outscored, but you'll never lose. Communication, a huge one on our youth. I know we're going to get to this in a second, but social media plays a critical role in this. It's kind of anti-social media. And if we use our voices on the court rather than just saying somebody's name repetitively, but I got help, so that someone's not, so that when you're being screened, you're not having to peek. That kind of thing, talking on defense, on ball, off ball, critical to success. And the kindness also in the words creates confidence. And the last two, so from all of that is confidence and community. So if we promote all those values, communication, commitment, we're going to build our confidence. It stems from self-assurance. If we're communicating, if we're team oriented, self-assurance is where arrogance is feeling you or something or someone. The pillars of those preceding C's, six C's, will lead to confidence. And then the last one's community. By exuding kindness, elements of the other C's, you bring not only a sense of community to your team and teammates, but to your school, neighborhood, city, and beyond.
That's great. So I think I missed two, so I just want to make sure. If I missed two, I'm sure there's a listener that probably missed two. I've got courage, compassion, committed, communication, confidence, and community.
Coachability, and then we talked about character prior.
Perfect. So we got, for the listener, eight C's: courage, compassion, committed, communication, confidence, community, coachability, and character. And side note, proper preparation prevents poor performance. So prepare.
Will, love hearing you talk about this, because this is something that has kind of inspired me to get into coaching as well. You talk about the eight C's. You talk about, you yourself getting involved into coaching to provide that mentorship, because we, you know, most of us understand that, you know, basketball or whatever sport it might be will end one day, right? But we all are here as products of that environment because we believe that we learned so much invaluable lessons that helped prepare us for a professional life, not just a professional life, but life as a productive citizen of the world, right? You know, whether that's a father, a husband, an employee, an employer, whatever it might be, a friend. So, you know, on that note, talk a little bit about, if you can, how all of that above that you just mentioned drove you to starting your own basketball program in the PDX area. You know, is it something that you saw an obvious need for? You know, what was kind of the drive behind that?
Yes, it's a great question. So I was actually brought in by a friend to my first coaching job was for seventh grade girls. And when I started coaching for these seventh grade girls, just a desperate need. And I was doing a favor at the time. And it was probably the best decision. One of the best decisions I've ever made. The first practice, girls were pushing each other into the cafeteria tables in this middle school, and it was complete pandemonium. And I, you know, for the start of my, I had everything listed out. Like I was going to, we're going to do this drill and that drill. And it was like, here's just the ball and, you know, play horse. And I was like, we are not practicing together again. And because, excuse me, operationally, I'm in operations and efficiency is everything. And that was highly inefficient. What is this bringing to these girls? And at that time I was like, okay, I'm going to get through this season and I'm probably not, if this is the way that it is, I'm out. Going further on, the other coach who was the team was supposed to be split, no A and B team, just completely split down the middle. And I didn't know any of the girls, and he just decided to take all the best girls possible, and I got stuck with the rest. Interestingly enough, we had a better record that year. Not that wins and losses makes anything, but they were just a lot more organized. We weren't pushing each other into cafeteria tables. I'll tell you that much. The pure emphasis of that was that during the season, it was the parents. And I didn't know if I was doing a good job or not. And we kind of talked about this earlier today about coaches coming in and just, this is the way that I do things. But I just asked as many questions as possible to try to understand if this was the right way, and then getting reinforcement or from parents emailing, text messaging, saying things like, this is a very difficult, seventh grader girl, very difficult time for my daughter. You're promoting confidence in her. I was like taken aback. And obviously we do this for the kids, but some of it, you know, that helps. That helps us be passionate about what we're doing, because it makes it, it's genuinely making a difference in our youth. And today with this, so many, you know, I'm not going to go into the numbers of any negative, let's just call that, connotations of it becomes to be a teenager in terms of anxiety and prescription drugs, et cetera, et cetera. To be that promotion and being an outlet for our youth is in any other time in history is probably most important as today. And to hear that was phenomenal. We fast forward into, I coached JV for a 6A school. Going further, last year was the culmination of this. And again, text message from parents. I save every single one of them, by the way, because it just, I love it. I love that I'm making a difference. Then when you get into high school, you start getting messages from kids, same kind of thing. We had a after season party for our JV team last year. And, you know, I've done this every single, we go to a pizzeria or something like that. And we talk and, you know, somebody says something, parents say, thank you, Coach Will, et cetera. But this time, every single one of the kids stood up and said something that from these components of the seeds that positively influenced their life. And it was for 15, 16, 17 year olds to be doing that was just by far the most exhilarating, one of the most exhilarating. I have two kids, I have a wife, like I got married. But as far outside of family was the most exhilarating moment. And it culminated in one kid saying, not only did you make me a better player on the court, but a better man. And that was it. You locked me in. if I have that influence, and not, it's not like I wake up in the morning and was like, how can I get this kid to like me? how can I get these kids to be good basketball players and good people? It doesn't go through my mind. It's just, you either have grit or you do not have grit. And fortunately it was instilled in me, and probably a good reason is because of the character that my dad provided me specifically. Yeah. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know,
And I love kind of hearing, because you can tell the passion coming from you when you talk about this subject. So that's really cool for us to hear. And, you know, seeing the impact that you had on kids, you know, is that safe to say that's kind of what made you kind of decide, hey, you know, I think there's something that can be done here, and using something that you have knowledge of, which is the game of basketball, I can use that to bridge the gap to reach these types of kids. So we'll talk a little bit now as we slightly shift gears, you know, and talk a little bit about PSB and your journey with PSB, you know, using all of that you just talked about, you know, what was it that attracted you to join PSB?
Right. So through all of this, I developed my own AAU program. You know, that comes with a lot of attentiveness to parents. They're paying a good amount of money. There's the jerseys, there's trying to instill the same principles of, but I'm only one individual, and I make a lot of mistakes. And, you know, it's just taking your mistakes and finding solutions. Just not making the same mistake multiple times. I mean, that's the definition of insanity. If you're just going to try to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. So with AAU basketball, still same thing, kids aspired to play on the AAU team. And but during the course of that, I was reached out by PSB. Didn't know that PSB existed at the time. We are mostly established on the East Coast. I was gonna delete the message, but then did my research, and the synergy between the concepts that I try to instill and those in which PSB abides by and is trusted by, there was this huge distinction, and it was like a big light bulb went out. And you guys go through a huge amount of interviews and conversations to make sure that you're making the right fit. And I had the first conversation. I was told to listen to some podcasts, and every single thing just lined up. What PSB is trying to do is exactly what I was trying to do on a smaller scale. But if we can grow this together, it is not only going to make a huge impression on us as a company, but our youth. And doing that from a larger scope rather than trying to figure out jerseys and coordination and hotel rooms and so on, the operation, and you say it's fine, we can say we're trying to establish the most professional AAU basketball club, but you gain that reputation and trust, and every single person I ever talked to, every single comment is always, they are trustworthy. You can say whatever. I can say Blitz Basketball, which I created, the best AAU program ever, and you know, but SEO is everything, and is one thing, but the best form of SEO is word of mouth. It's SEO, search engine optimization, but it's word of mouth.
Right.
And PSB had that. I did my due diligence, and you made it you've influenced the game of basketball, and you've done it professionally. And conducting that research and going through the interview process with Brendan and Zane and et cetera, it is a phenomenal group of people with character, with knowledge, and so excited to be a part of the program. It's great that you guys exist, and it's going to be revolutionary for the game of basketball and for our youth.
Well, I like that you used, I don't like, strike that, I love that you used the word trust, and I love that you paired the word trust with whoever you talk to. It was made clear that they trusted us, right? I think a lot of times, and we'll get into this just right now when we dive into social media, but I think a lot of times a lot of organizations are judged or weighed in on by the level of success they have on the court, right? Like this program, oh, they win a lot, or that program, I can hang my hat at night because I'm going to do what I say. We're going to do everything we can in our power to do what we say, and you can trust that. When we say we're going to have gyms weekly, twice a week, or you're going to have 8 tournaments, and these are the tournaments, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, it's going to happen. And I think that you bringing that up and you raising that is such a powerful point, and something that we're trying to change in the narrative of youth basketball is, wherever you go, the one question I'm always going to ask you, if it's not with us, is, do you trust that program and that person that's telling you those things that they're going to come to fruition or not? Plain and simple, bar none, full stop, right? And so I just, you know, you just struck a chord with me. And so I didn't want to not bring up the use of the word trust when it comes to what we're trying to do, which is build trust in our word, not in wins and losses, not in results, but in the journey, in the discipline, in the commitment to do what we say we're going to do day in and day out. It's with that that I want to kind of switch positions, switch focus, and kind of just go into social media, because I know that this is big on kind of your plate, big on your heart. I know it's big on kids. It's big on parents. I mean, it's hard not to pay attention to social media if you're a kid. I have a 10-year-old, and he's already asking for a TikTok account, an Instagram account, a Facebook account. Let's just, I'm not going to say, hey, let's start in the 3-foot section. Let's start in the 10-foot. Let's just cannonball off the diving board into social media's influence on youth basketball. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, I think it's just the promotion of the individual accolades that are paramount. And that, again, it could be, I scored 22 points and I had 12 rebounds, but it could also be like, look at this 2-second clip of me breaking a kid's ankles, or, you know, making them look silly. Well, what we don't think about is, what about the other kid? What about the kid who, you know, slipped? What about the kid who got dunked on? What about the kid who got laid on? What are their feelings by seeing this and someone tagging, oh, that's so-and-so. And we don't promote what other attributes come from those 22 and 12. What did your opponent, how many points did your opponent have? I like to talk about socks, SOCs. So scoring opportunities created. That is what college coaches are looking for. It's find the HCs, specifically character. If you're going to go to, they want to see your image, what your reflection is on the court, how you hold yourself, what your composure is, but how you interact with your teammates. It's not about, you can score 30 and 15 every night, and you could be a mid-tier AAU program, but there probably aren't people at that game that are going to be able to talk to a college scout but they do look at those other attributes. But when we look at social media, it is those 2-second clips, and it is it on Snap and text messages with the kids that I've coached before. It's always, yeah, I scored 22 and 12, but how did you make your team better? Like, how did you grow in that game? Because at the end of the day, those AAU games, it's just, what are you fighting for? A plastic trophy at the end of the day? I know it's pride, how did you get better? And that is not what other coaches are saying. They're saying, great, you had 22. Okay, let's go for 24 next game. and not promoting those requirements that not only college coaches look at, but what makes you a fine individual, and it kind of ties back to the HC. So seeing that other aspect, what about the kid, other kid, and seeing the other attributes on the basketball court that promote growth, those are the things that aren't shown on social media.
One thing that I just want to point out is, you said the word slip, right? When we see these highlights, whether it's NBA, college, or travel ball, the majority of the time the kid is slipping, or he's tripping on the guy's foot, and then they're falling over, and everyone's going bat crap crazy, and it's like, hey guys, like, it happens in the game of basketball. If you're playing proper on-ball defense, you're going to get beat at some point. If you're playing proper load defense under the rim, on the rim, you're going to get dunked on at some point. It's 100%. Just a part of the game. And so now we're sensationalizing proper things and making it as though, hey, don't do this because you might get bodied. Don't do this because you might be embarrassed. And as a coach, I'm like, no, no, no. I still want you on the rim. No, no, no. I still want you to force one way or the other. I don't care if you get beat because you have people properly loaded in help side positions and weak side, wherever. And so I just like the fact that you said the word slip, because a majority of the time it's just kids slipping. Like, you don't see knees wobbling as much as maybe you used to when this phenomena first came out, and you just saw someone have a nasty cross, like AI or someone, and just your knees buckle and you're down. That's one thing. The majority of the time you're tripping over your own feet, you're tripping over the other person's foot, you're slipping. So anyway,
right.
Thank you, Colin.
Yeah, and Chris, to your point, and Will, to your point as well, you know, I think it all kind of ties back to social media. Does a lot of great things, right? It can highlight, it can accentuate some really great things. And we use social media a lot in the recruiting process because it is very important. You know, Twitter especially, if you're trying to get your name out, help you with the recruiting process. But what we're seeing a lot of times now is that 10-second clip of greatness, quote unquote, right? That 10-second clip of something good that kids are idolizing and watching, especially if it's an NBA player, for example. You're watching a 10-second clip of Steph Curry making a really great dribble move, step back, three from 30 feet, and oh my gosh, it's awesome, right? Kids love that. They want to emulate it. What that 10-second clip doesn't show is all the work and preparation that's, for this example, Steph Curry put in years prior to be able to get to that moment to make that play. And that's what's being missed, in my opinion, a large part is the process that it took for those people to be able to make that type of highlight. And then on the other note, you said, that kids are, you know, getting crossed up or whatever, and that's kind of what we're idolizing. A couple years back, I was having a conversation with a couple of my high school players that I coached, and they told me straight up that they don't want to do certain things on the basketball court because they know there's five videographers at the game and they don't want to go viral on social media. And I thought that was nuts. But it makes sense nowadays, you know, now that I think about it more, that's so true, right? These kids are that. When I was coming up, I wasn't afraid to get dunked on or crossed up because nobody would remember it. Like, my teammates might jab me in the locker room after the game, but like, it'd be gone and done after that. You know, nowadays, I mean, how many highlights do you see still of Zion Williamson in high school dunking on kids, right? I mean, that kid is going to be viral, you know, for a long time. So it to me, it all kind of chimes back to that, kind of what you talked about before, you know, that culture and the eight C's and the character building and what are we emphasizing, you know, through our, you know, what are we emphasizing to our youth? So it's a really interesting conversation, you know, for me. And I think that there should be more conversations had about this.
Yeah. And I do want to mention one thing is that Chris said something about AI, and that's not artificial. For these listening, it's not artificial intelligence or ChatGPT. We're dating ourselves, but AI practice, we're talking about practice. That's one thing, but the one thing that I want to talk about is that 22 and 12 that kid's posting on Snap, you know, what about the other, you know, 11 kids on the team? Are they silent on Snap? Like, and if they are, you know, they want to be there. And it's getting kids out of the game because they are not able to, their first question is, why didn't you post today, from their friends? You know, what did you have? How did you do? And they're going to be reluctant to say, I had, you know, I sat on the bench that game, or my coach was disciplining. I think they're not going to say that. It's not the real piece of that isn't there. You can't say, well, you know, I'm working to become in a different role. These sophomores that I talk to, they're disappointed when they don't make varsity. And I'm like, just produce that where you are right now. Like, don't hold that back. It's not the coach, it's not the program. Like, just keep on working.
Yeah,
if you love basketball, just put in the work. Do your best effort at JV, JV2, freshman. What about the kid who got cut? what about the kid that went out to JV two and you made JV? Like, think about those kids. Yeah. And improve yourself that way.
Yeah, Will,
to keep on working. It just goes back to giving yourself 100%.
I love the fact, Will, that you brought up, you know, how, like, what about the other kids on your team, right? If we were to roll this back into your eight C's, right? If you're a coach or a program director or even a player, right? Like the leader of the team, if all you're doing is promoting one player, you're not really building community.
Right.
And if you're not building community, you're not building trust. And now we're back on that trust wagon, right? And so as a program director, as a coach, as a leader or whoever that's involved with a team, if you are putting highlights out, how is it highlighting the team? Because at the end of the day, your 22-12 is fantastic, but if your team won, well, they didn't win by only scoring 22 points. What did everyone else on that team do? And I just want to, and then I want to ask just a final thing, and I know Colin's got one final question, but I think I know we harp on the negative of social media a lot, and I think it's important to harp on the things that we should be cautious of, right? And because social media, for all that it's, you know, negative or distracting, there's some great things about social media, right? Like my son, who's 10, he goes to a trainer twice a week. He wants highlight videos, but he doesn't want highlight videos of his game. He wants highlight videos of him training because he knows that he's working hard and he just wants to see that. And then he wants me to film him in games showing the things that he's working on with his trainer, right? That's completely different. And I love that about my 10-year-old Keegan, who's got that kind of foresight right now to care more about, hey, show how I'm doing the things that I'm working on versus just show me out there running amok and doing these crazy things. He wants me to video him so he can take it back to his trainer. But what I was going to say is, I think one thing that we need to be cautious of as parents and players is if we're only paying attention to highlights, then all we're going to start doing is comparing our players, comparing our children. And when we start comparing, we start losing sight of where our children are. And whether I'm a coach, I'm still entrusted with someone's child. And if I'm a parent, I have a child that I need to pay attention to and be focused on their journey. And whether it's a sprint or it's a marathon or it's just an odyssey that someone is on, it's a journey of development that we as parents and players are on. We need to be cautious when we start looking at other people's highlights and saying, why isn't my child there? Or why can't my players do that? That's not what highlights are for. And I just want to be cautious with the listener that's out there. I guess the last question that I have for you, Will, is you talk about or mention restoring confidence in our youth, right? Like what do you mean by that? Like what's the solution or what's your thoughts or opinions on that?
It's just about not like you just said, it's not about comparing yourself to the next guy. It's just putting in the work to become better yourself. There's always going to be someone better on the basketball court. Probably going to be somebody better in the boardroom. There's probably going to be someone who's more articulate, but that doesn't define who you are. And that's where the confidence is being drawn. It is from those 3-second clips. I don't mean to bash social media by any means. It can be used in a way that is certainly, as Colin and both of you said, that it is, can be used in a positive nature for sure. But it shouldn't come at the detriment of other kids, especially in this environment where, you know, if I went to a party when I was in, well, obviously after I was 21, but if I went to a party and if I were to look on there and I see all my friends someplace and I wasn't included, like, what is that? How does that make me feel? It's the same thing that comes from the confidence promoted by social media. So I just be cognizant of the fact of what you're putting out there can have negative connotations, especially in the world that we are now, to those youth. So to instill that confidence comes really down to the coaches, the city directors, places, companies, like organizations like PSB, to promote us holistically in a team environment for the betterment of our programs and society, rather than 20-12, isolation. Dame hits, you know, a shot from the logo. That's a terrible shot. He took that shot against Oaks. Bad shot. Sorry. Wave to Russell Westbrook as much as you want. Made it. Great athleticism, but I don't know about the shot. Probably could have got a better look. Went in, but it's a Portland reference, and the 15 fans, what's up? So I hope that makes sense with the confidence side.
Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. By the way, you're wrong. It was an awesome shot. It was the right shot choice. I'm sorry. Dame time, baby. Love it. Yeah, Will, no, I love hearing you talk about that, and I think we all can agree that there's a lot of really good things that could come out of it, but there's also a lot of negatives that we should shine a light on, and hopefully collectively as a group can continue to move towards a positive realm. To wrap this all up, Will, because I know we could sit here and talk about this for hours, as we love these types of topics, but 60 seconds or less, this is your last sound off. This is your chance to tell the Portland basketball community and just community at large whatever you want, whatever it is about you, about basketball, the youth, or PSB. 60 seconds, sound off, my man.
An organization like PSB, it couldn't have come at a better time for the city, because there are so many different organizations, and I've seen it firsthand, that it's a promotion of the organization and not the youth. And we abide, we talk the talk, but we walk the walk. And to join organizations like PSB Portland from the inception is going to be special for the youth experience and for the parent experience as well. It's not going to be a promotion of just basketball traits on the court, but character development and making sure, again, God willing, that we promote good adults as well as high performers on the basketball court.
Well, listeners, that's all for this episode of the Youth Hoops Pod. Will, thank you for your voice, for your passion, and for joining us on the call today. Yes, Colin, sir. My guy, I appreciate you. To the listener, thank you for spending time with us on today's conversation. Let us know if there's a topic you would love to hear us jump into. And until next time, stay focused and leave it all on the court.
Thank you for listening to today's conversation. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review and subscribe so that you can stay tuned to future episodes. Follow us on all of our social media platforms at ProSkills Basketball on Instagram and Facebook, and at ProSkills B-Ball on Twitter. And if you'd like to find out more information about our teams, camps, clinics, or virtual basketball, check out our website at www.proskillsbasketball.com. We'll see you soon on another conversation.